Number one, Star Wars. Number two, comics. Number three, Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. Number four, Mario. Number five, Weird Al. Number six, Batman. Number seven, Kal-El. Number eight, The Simpsons. Number nine, TV. Number ten, every single band that I stole all their MP3s, but before they all sold out, say it all together if you're with me now. Nerds ruin everything. Nerds ruin everything. Say nerds ruin everything. Nerds ruin everything. Nerds ruin everything.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Nerds Ruin Everything. I'm Logan.
And I'm Adam.
And we're definitely talking about that Superman trailer.
Yeah, we definitely are. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that one. So do we want to head into that, or do we want to talk a little bit of, like, not news, but, like, what we've been watching, another trailer that I have questions about, and then head into, like, Superman?
Well, there was one piece of news that I don't know if you saw. Apple Plus has renewed what is one of our favorite shows of the year for a season two. Bad Monkey is coming back.
Yes. So I know a little bit of news about this just because I was reading something about something else and this came up, which I don't know how they're going to deal with this. But supposedly how they kind of got the green light was through tax incentives in California. So a show that is like intrinsically about Florida is going to be made primarily in California. I don't know how I feel about this. I'm glad that they got a season two, and part of the reason why was because of this tax credit. But
I mean, you know, whatever they got to do to make, I know Florida is a character, but Florida is a character even when you're not in Florida.
That's
so
true.
Like, you know, I'm sure they'll have some establishing shot stuff to give it that swampy Florida feel.
Yeah.
And, you know, if everything else is just California masquerading as Florida because, you know, depending on when you film, the weather is very similar. When and where the weather is very similar, then, you know, I mean, as long as we get Vince Vaughn doing this thing and maybe guest starring some of the people that survived, you know, that season one, I'm okay with it, you know, like do what you got to do. It keeps good people making good entertainment. I hesitate to call it art, but it's definitely entertainment.
Yeah.
Employed and doing the good work, you know,
that is true.
You
know,
it sucks for Florida.
But, you know, I mean, we're not going to get into Florida, but I mean, come on. Like, I mean, they're like, I almost feel like Bill Lawrence is like, I don't live out here. Nobody lives out here. So
it's funny because he's made two shows now set in the state of Florida. Yep.
Yes. I mean, well, like the funniest part about Cougar Town is that I know that it was filmed in L.A. because Courtney Cox refused to go to Florida.
Yeah.
Like that was like, and part of the reason it got canceled was because the budget just went too high because California didn't have a tax incentive back in the day. And, you know, paying all these people to show up on that show, even though it was a great show and I love it. I'm due for a rewatch of that one, at least in like a, what I like to call a background rewatch, where it just plays in the background and you just kind of like, because you've seen it one or two times, you kind of know the thing. I know that you've been, I think that you've told me recently that you were doing an Office rewatch kind of like that, just kind of like in the background.
I do so much like that. It's ridiculous. Right now it's Bob's Burgers for me. And when I'm not here, I don't know if you know, but or if you ever even visit Tubi, they don't have a ton of great content, but they have every Scooby-Doo series. Almost, it seems like they have every Scooby-Doo series.
Okay.
So Ripley has been watching Scooby-Doo when I'm here. I put that on. She's made it all the way up to What's New Scooby-Doo, which is probably my favorite Scooby-Doo series. They might be missing some of the newer ones, like Shaggy and Scooby Get a Clue, and some of the stuff of the last few years. But like, they have all of the original stuff. They have the stuff with Scrappy, and you know, the I think they have the Scooby-Doo some of the Scooby-Doo movies, maybe. Anyway, so that's beyond the point. Background rewatches, yes. Right now for me, it's been Bob's Burgers for about a month, I think.
Okay.
So, just constantly playing.
It's a good show to rewatch in the background.
So
no, absolutely. I'm excited. I'm very excited that that Yancey and company are coming back, and I'm also very excited to see who Bill Lawrence decides to bring into this world.
It also leads me to this question, because about a week, it's been talked about for a while, but a couple of weeks ago, a lot of sites started running with, hey, yeah, that Scrubs thing, it's definitely happening, and everybody is coming back. So yeah, they're getting it off the ground.
Yeah.
Is that because Bill Lawrence will be shooting in California?
I honestly think that it is. Like, to be perfectly honest, like, I haven't heard anything about that. But the thing is that the hospital is still a studio. And people, like, I think actually the show that you watch, St. Jude or St. Joseph's or whatever that is.
St. Dennis. Yeah, I think you might be right. Filmed in the newer one that they because the original one got torn down.
Yes,
they built that new one that's actually a studio, because they originally filmed in an old hospital.
And then they torn down, but then they've like. From what I understand, the Scrubs set is still standing because there's so many goddamn hospital shows and hospital comedies end up using it, and it's just moneymaker for the studio that has it. I think that stupid Comedy Central the Cartoon Network one, you know, the one with what's his name?
I love that show.
Yeah,
you know, my Children's Hospital.
Yeah, Children's Hospital. The only one that doesn't film there is Grey's Anatomy, because Grey's Anatomy has its own studio.
Yeah, they have their own. Shondaland, baby.
Yeah, seriously.
When the Bad Monkey announcement hit, I was like, yeah, that might delay the Scrubs thing, but if they're filming in California, like, I mean, I think almost all of them live in California. So, yeah. Certainly, JD and Turk, I'm pretty sure, Dr. Cox, I'm calling them by their characters' names. Because I listen to their podcast, and like, they're just always talking about California. I know they travel, but yeah, I mean, more Bill Lawrence TV, it's not a bad thing. I don't know how current you are on Shrinking, but holy shit, it's been amazing.
I have not. We're going to make a run to the end, starting probably this weekend, because like the last one is what? It's this week. It's next week, right? I think the 24th is the final episode.
Yeah, that sounds right. It's pretty close.
Yeah. So. I had something spoiled for me, which I was really pissed about. I won't bring it up here, but I figure that we'll have a wrap up of the end of season two, when it finishes up, so that we can like kind of talk about it as a whole. Because yeah, man, like this show is like, you know, talk about putting in the work. Wow, like I didn't like the weirdest part about this is the smartest thing that Apple ever did was get into the Bill Lawrence business, because this could be their thing. And if I was Apple, I would try to get onto that Scrubs reboot and try to steal that from ABC and just say, hey, why don't you let us do this? Why don't you let us do this and let us handle it? and like we'll it, pay make you. It, yeah, exactly. And make it a little bit more like, then it doesn't have to be on vertical. And then it can be a little bit more, a little bit more risque, not to say that Bill Lawrence does hard R stuff, but I feel like we've gotten so used to him being able to play in the zone that isn't PG and PG-13 that it feels like even Shrinking, like Shrinking isn't an R, like it's not a hard R, it's a soft R.
They're only R rated because of the swearing. Like there's not any real like graphic. Well, Bad Monkey had graphic content, but only because there was a lot of body parts.
Yes.
Coming off in that show.
Absolutely. And,
but yeah, like Scrubs dipping a little bit more into that territory and maybe being able to get heavy into the actual hospital nature of it, you know, would benefit the show.
I mean, I'm very curious how they're going to bring it back. Like, honestly, I'm very curious. Like, is it going to be I'm just curious to see what
Bill Lawrence. It's got to be a limited run thing. I mean, they also, there was also an announcement that, I don't know how much faith to put in it, but that Disney Plus has got everybody from Malcolm in the Middle, Malcolm in the Middle on board for a 4-episode revival, not a full on, like, 12-episode season, or just 4 episodes, kind of this is where this family is at now, and like that's exciting. Just something like that would be nice, you know.
Absolutely. And like the Malcolm in the Middle thing, because I was a Malcolm in the Middle fan, it was very trepidatious to me. But to hear that The two, I feel like the two most important pieces are Bryan Cranston and Frankie Muniz. And for them to both want to commit to it, because they have, like, and part of the reason why I feel like it's important is because of the reverence they have for the show. Like, it was of a time, like, I mean, Cranston has said, it's like, I would be amenable to it, but it's also, it's of a time and of a place and of a piece that it's kind of lightning in a bottle and you can't reproduce that. And like, to his point, all you need to do is look at Gilmore Girls and the trash ass shit that they did to that show to like go, yeah, you know what? Maybe you don't want to do it because it's like a very specific thing. Right. But if it's 4 episodes and like, say they're each like say they turn them into 2 basically mini movies, right? 4-hour long episodes. So that we're actually getting more like 8. And you just kind of like, you have a good hook on it. I'm all for it. Like, I'm really for it. Like, especially because everybody is involved. Like everyone, they said, is like, they've got everybody convinced everybody to come back. And that includes, from the rumors are, like side characters and supporting characters, think people that were not a part, like, you know, people that were a part of the show, but not a part of the family, which interests me. So we'll see where it goes. But the Scrubs thing, like, I, because of the run that Bill has been on, that Lawrence has been on, I'm so for it. Like, and especially if he's gotten all of the cast, right? Like, he's gotten everybody that, like, you know, that is living.
I think the only one that, I mean, literally he can't come back is Ted because the actor passed away. But everybody else, it's not even that he has good relationships with them. Legitimately, they're all friends.
Yeah.
They're friends in real life. Like, there's no bad blood with anybody that worked on the show at all, including, I don't think any of the guest stars. But they're just all friends. So anybody that was a regular on the show, the only other possible, like, probably maybe can't do it is Todd, which sucks because that guy is now a real estate agent in San Bernardino or like some weird shit. Just like, yeah, he just went into real estate, quit acting. He was never even an actor, really. No. He just like lucked into that. And when the show went off, he did like a couple of things and then wound up getting into real estate. And now he's just, that's what he does. He sells real estate. So I could see where he might be like, I can't really like do the things and then show up and try to sell people houses. Cause the top was pretty like, even for network television, it was just like, this is pushing the envelope, guys.
it's kind of like, it's interesting, right? Because like, what's his name is still alive. Kelso, he's still alive. So Ken Jenkins could come back. It's very interesting. I'm very kind of curious if they're going to continue. Like, so my thing is that like, and I know this might be a little bit of a controversial take, but Scrubs is 8 seasons. There's a 9th thing that's kind of a spinoff that doesn't work.
I mean, everybody, even Bill Lawrence is like, yeah, that wasn't really Scrubs. So yeah. It was a last minute, like, hey, what if we did this? Like, everybody, you know, anybody that wanted to come back could come back. You know, it kept certain people employed.
You know, exactly.
He wasn't even that involved in it. So
no, he was not.
Yeah, he had already moved on to Cougar Town and was developing Undateable, I think, at the time.
Yes,
which is a great show that you can't watch thanks to fucking Chris D'Elia.
Yeah, but you know, Chris, like maybe they can. You know what? Wouldn't it have been hilarious?
digitally insert Tig Notaro. Yes, like absolutely, man.
Like do the stupid deep fakes that they do for the sports things, like when they take a movie, like not even like put like not
it
even
can
do
just it be bad real. It can just be bad. I don't care.
Oh my god.
I hate that you can't watch that show anywhere. All right, so
good reason. But anywho, but I'm very excited about this, like, and I have a feeling that they are going to take it from episode like or from season 8 and kind of use that as the jumping off point.
Yeah.
Like just to like see where these characters are. Like just like even if I got one season of it, it would be completely fine. Like I would be completely okay with it.
In like an 8 episode run, just you know. Yeah. Totally cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw something last week since we last spoke that you've already seen.
Oh,
I went and saw Wicked.
Okay, let us talk about like okay. So, general thoughts after you saw it.
Okay, it really needs to be 20 to 25 minutes shorter. It really does. I understand why it isn't.
Yes, there's
definitely 20 minutes you could cut out of the movie, and it would be still absolutely fantastic. But beyond like it just goes for 20 minutes too long, it's fucking incredible. I don't understand how they did this, because it really shouldn't be as good as it is.
No, like when you sit down and you start watching it, it just starts this thing where it, like, it's like it puts a trance over you, and it, like, a lot of the stuff shouldn't work. Like, it really shouldn't, but it does. And it's like,
I wanted to not hate it. I didn't want to hate it, but I, having seen and enjoyed the actual stage play and knowing that they split this into two movies, like, and all the fake advertising, I don't want to call it fake, but all the misadvertising that they did to try to lure people in, just all of the stuff associated with the movie, I went in wanting to not like it and just be like, yeah, it's fine. Like, it's whatever. They do great with the songs and it's just whatever. But it took probably the first, I don't know, it probably wasn't even 5 minutes. And I was like, okay. Like, I mean, spoilers for Wicked, guys, but like the whole, this whole idea of like setting up the her father being the wizard and like it, there's just so much interesting shit there. And I know it's, you know, all part of it, but the way the movie handles it, it was just so compelling. And I don't know, the songs are incredible. They do fantastic work. Getting the original stars into the movie, complete and total surprise. And for that 4.5 minutes or whatever it is, they absolutely steal the movie.
I didn't want, like, because I knew you were going to see it, I did not want to ruin where and when they showed up, because it's such a perfect moment. Like, and that's what this movie is. It's a bunch of, like, magic on screen that just kind of skips to each thing. It's a dare. Like, it's very weird how it works. It's like daring you to hate it, but going, no, you don't understand. We know what Wicked is. Like, even the opening moments where you get teased for things, like, it starts off with the whole thing of, like, the Wizard of Oz in the font, and you're like, you're fucking bold, John Chu. Like, you're fucking, like the when I saw that, like, at the opening moment, I was like, you're fucking bold, dude. Like, that's a fucking, you're kind of, like, fucking with things that, and we're going to talk about something that's already fucking with, like, iconography, that I'm like, okay, I can deal this.
I mean, this... It's weird because the trailers don't do what even the first 5 minutes of the movie do.
No.
And, like, really, the trailers are just, like, whatever. Like, hey, this is a Wizard of Oz story. Like, it's, you know, the Wizard of Oz story you never knew or whatever. And then the first 5 minutes of the movie is like, it's like calling your shot. You know, it's like, no. We're going to knock this out of the park. Like, you love Wizard of Oz, you're going to love this as much as you love Wizard of Oz.
Absolutely. And then it's just, like, from the production design on down, like, it starts with that production design in the real world, like, the real sets. Like, it not CGI, but actual real sets. Like, it starts with that, and then it just expounds on it. So that things like
digitally enhanced things, it's the digital stuff is there. You can see it. I wish it was a little bit brighter. Like, it feels like they went for that more, they didn't want to be as bright as the Wizard of Oz, because the movie's so, it's like the most in color thing that ever existed.
I mean,
it's so it's got a little muted kind of thing to it. So I wish, but I mean, he made his choice and it works. 100% works. Like, I can wish for whatever, but it 100% works. There's a lot of things that are an absolute damn shame when it comes to this movie. It can't win original screenplay. It can't win best original song. Now, they're writing new songs for the second one, so that's a possibility, but there's no new song here, so, like, it's just, it gets taken out of the running. It can win best adapted screenplay. I know that's still, you know, something to hang your hat on, but, it's fucking unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is. Like, it like I said, it's a magic trick. Like, it's really kind of like, you don't have a true understanding of how Like, you have to experience it in order to truly understand, like, oh shit, they actually did it. Like, they made it. Okay, so, like, my thing is that, and now we can talk about it, they didn't make Wicked the musical. They made a Wizard of Oz prequel.
Well, they took the musical, and then they took the source material that the musical really doesn't. That's not that it throws it away. It's just the musical is so much more about their relationship, and everything else that's going on happens very fast. And it's not that it's brushed away. It's just like, yeah, this is it's like Les Mis. Like, it's about the people, and the backdrop is all the other shit that's going on with the government.
Exactly. And, like, they do it in songs at the beginning of the second act. Like, right. That's literally how they do it, but they somehow manage to reverse engineer it and create that, like, bring the context to the forefront, right?
Yeah. So, it's, like, the scene with the professor is fucking heartbreaking, man. Like, just, like, it was so good. So good. And immediately left the theater. I not intentionally, but I had to do a little shopping. Went to Walmart. They had the soundtrack on vinyl. Bought it. Came home, listened to it while I wrapped Christmas presents.
And it's like, it's so good. Like, and that's the other thing is that they managed to somehow, if you've listened to the original broadcast, like the if you listen to the Broadway original cast, like that's a big mountain to climb, right? But they somehow managed to completely sidestep it and make it sound like its own thing. Like, it really is its own thing. Like, you listen to like Walking Through Life, and you listen to the Broadway version, and then the Jonathan Bailey. And by the way, fucking Jonathan Bailey comes out of this as a fucking superstar. I now know why they instantly hired him for Jurassic Park. Because you can't have a guy like do that, like play Fierro the way he did, and not just sign him up like in the next big thing that you have, because he's so, like, that role could come off so crass and so stupid and so fucking just annoying. And I've seen it performed that way. I've seen it also, like, I mean, I saw the original Broadway cast, so I saw the original Fierro, and, like, I'll make a bold statement, at least, because I only saw it once 20 years ago. I mean, I've seen it multiple times since, because my wife is a huge Wicked fan, but I will make a bold statement that Jonathan Bailey was better than the original Fierro. Like, he exudes superstar charm, and it's like, you can understand why he is the way he is, but also it's like, you know what's coming. Like, you know, like, everybody knows, like, everybody that's seen the musical knows what's coming. And that's the kind of, like, fun stuff to know that's what's going to happen and how, like, people are going to react to it and how he's going to be able to play it. But, like, man, like, I mean, like, that's not even saying, like, Cynthia Erivo is, like, has come in, and if she doesn't get an Oscar nom, and I mean, to be quite honest, if she probably doesn't win, I'm going to fucking riot. But also, like, I don't like Ariana Grande, but Jesus Christ, is she like Glinda?
It is the, like, the perfect, it's the epitome of that Mean Girls thing. Like, she captures it so well, where it's like, you just love to hate her. And yeah, she does it so perfectly. So perfectly.
It's funny how, like, can I just ask something? Is it funny how, like, this movie is getting all the play, but Moana's, like, breaking records and no one's talking about it?
Yeah. See, going back to our conversation 2 weeks ago, that's why I was like, Moana too. Who, like, nobody I know has seen it but you. But meanwhile, it's made so much fucking money. Like, who is going to see that? Kids, I guess, are going to see this movie. But, it is wild. I'm so stoked for what I know is going to happen in the second one, and just seeing how they bring it about.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. Like, that's the, like
I don't want to talk about it, because I don't want, like, it's jumping, so, because that movie won't be out for almost a year. And
well, I mean, but like we're gonna get the, like, we're gonna get the 4K soon. We're gonna get deleted scenes. Like, I know that you said, like, it's a little too long, but I mean, we've heard about a lot of these deleted scenes.
It's too long for a theater without any kind of act break.
It doesn't.
Right. You know, the back half really does move, and that's mm-hmm. great. It's the front half that's a little slow. I think you could tighten that up a little bit and lose. I think even if you lost 15 minutes of the movie, it would be a little bit easier to sit in a theater and watch. Putting it on in the background, that's, you're going to lose not seeing those visuals. On a, like, an actual great screen, but mm-hmm. still, it's the kind of movie that, like, I don't really condone watching shit on your phone, but, like, you could put it on your phone, and it's just, like, you have the music going, and, I mean, much like The Wizard of Oz, you know, it's so fantastic the way they did everything, and everybody kept wondering why is it so long when you're making it two movies? That's the other thing. It's 2.5 hours long, and there's still another movie coming. But the reason is you can't do Wicked. Like, they knew they had enough story for two movies, and too mm-hmm. much for one movie. So they were always going to try to make two movies. I think they're going to wind up trying to make three. But they were always going to try to make two movies. The problem is, you can't do Wicked and not have that song.
No, you can't. So you have to get it to, you have to get to Defying Gravity. And at first I was like, because I was thinking about it from the stage play, it's like, it doesn't work. You front load everything. But then when you watch the movie and the movie version, the way they did it, the way that they changed Defying Gravity, and they made it, Defying Gravity is kind of a battle cry in the show, but because of the way they build it up in the movie, and they build up the wizard, and they build up, like, all of the different moving pieces, that it becomes a battle cry yeah. more so than anything else. And then you know why they end it the way that they end it. They end it right there. And I'm also kind of glad that they didn't put a trailer for part, like, they didn't do the Back to the Future 3 thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they just left it there because it needed to be there. Like, you end on such a high, I know, pun intended. When you leave on such a high note, that to do anything else would rob the movie of its, like, of its power. And yeah. so, like, you know, you see that, and she does that belting, and then it cuts to black. It's like, you're just, like, left breathless. You're gut punched, yeah. but in the best way possible, because it's yeah. like, you're not robbed. It's like, somebody was telling me that they were comparing it to, and I feel like this, it's not this, but they compared it to the way that they felt after the first Lord of the Rings. And I don't believe that, because, like, my thing is that the first Lord of the Rings doesn't really, it ends in a weird, like, it ends where it needs to end, but I don't feel it ends the same way that Wicked does. Like, Wicked ends on a super high note, whereas, like, Lord of the Rings just kind of, like, cuts off its story at that point. Like, they never found, they didn't find a true, like, we're gonna do this. Like, Sam doesn't deliver what I feel like the way that Elphaba delivers at the end of the story. But it's kind of similar in a way where it kind of like it's trying to hit a note that will sustain, and it will, and it has, and it should, will sustain us for a year, right? Because it's like, now we have to wait a year. But I mean, it's such a good high note, and it ends so just kind of like perfectly that you kind of like, yeah, I can do this. I can wait a year. I can go back to this because this is such a good, like, it's such a good layered movie. I mean, I've only seen it once, and I really want to go. My wife has seen it like 3 times. And just her describing things and like things that she caught in the background and how deep visually the movie is, like, it makes me want to go back to see it. Like, makes me want to go back and look at those cues and look at those things. Like, so, yeah. Like, I'm really glad that you enjoyed it. Like, I really am. Like, that's like, as a fan of the musical, the hardest thing I feel like, for anybody, like, the hardest thing, and this is the reason why they never made, and they're probably thinking about it now after they saw the numbers for Wicked, they never made Hamilton. Because it's like, how do you translate that? Because most of the time, a lot of these big shows, I mean, with the exception of a few, right? Like, big shows sometimes do not, at least in the modern era, do not translate. Or there's problems with them, and they don't have like the, like, Hamilton was a moment, right? And like, for them to try to do that without the cast that they had, it's like, I mean, even Wicked, like, thinking about it, like, if you think about the everything leading up to the movie, there were big question marks. Like, I mean, like, you know, anybody who saw the show, anybody who, like, listened to the original Broadway cast recording, it was like, can they do this? And,
yeah, especially when you weren't getting anything in the trailers. But on the other side of that now, I can look back at the marketing and go, that's 100% how you should have marketed that movie. Because
absolutely
none of the music should have been given away in the trailers. Absolutely none of it. Because it's so, like, to take any one piece of those songs out of context of the movie is just, it wouldn't work. It's one thing to listen to the soundtrack and do it, but, like, just watching it in a trailer, watching bits and pieces of those songs, it wouldn't work at all. So, yeah, it's an incredible feat from, I'm not down. We talked about John Chu when we talked about you seeing Wicked, and not downplaying him as a director. He's certainly talented, but, like, this is next level shit.
No, it really is. It really, really is. Like, he upped his game in a way, like, this was the movie that he was waiting to make, right? Like, it's like the, like, again, to compare it to Peter Jackson, it's like, Peter Jackson's career does not indicate that he would have been able to pull off Lord of the Rings. You know, even, like, his best movies, like, you know, like, you know, Frighteners, or what's the other one? The Heavenly Creatures does not indicate that he can handle a massive, massive production like that.
Adam, I would double down on that and say his post Lord of the Rings career would still indicate that he's not the guy to direct those movies.
No, he's not. Like, he was just out of, well, like, you watch the behind the scenes footage and you realize how much Fran Walsh and Philippa Boyens were hands in that. And then also all of the crew, like, it was a very special moment, but,
and like, I'm sure that's what? This too, like,
yeah,
it is John Chu, but it's also, like, it's so perfectly cast, everybody from not just the front performers, every single person in this movie knows what they're supposed to be doing, and they're doing it.
Yes. 100%. Like, all the background performers, like, everybody in this
movie. There are actual fucking background performers.
Mm-hmm.
Not 6 people who were then doubled, tripled, quadrupled, whatever, with CGI, so that you think that there's background performers. It bleeds out of the frame. There are people dancing off the screen that you never get to see.
Yep. Absolutely. Like, and it shows. Like, it just shows that it's a movie like The Wizard of Oz where, like, the reality of it bleeds outside of the frame. Like, if they were to move the camera right or left, it's not like it's a set. It's like reality. It's like a documentary. Like, they could move right or left, but they choose to show you this. And it's because of the commitment there, the commitment to, like,
a fucking clockwork library, man.
Yes.
Like, what the hell?
That actually fucking moves. You built that set.
And you're only, I mean, maybe we'll get more of it in the second part, but I mean, you're in it for 5-10 minutes tops.
Yep.
And it's like, you can tell it's a set. It might be a CGI enhanced set on the edges and some of the more intricate detail, but the damn thing's a set. And
yeah, because they're actually do a dance number in it.
Yeah.
Like, they actually make
they're climbing it. They're swinging through it.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible.
Yep, it really is. Like, it really feels like when you hear, like, you know, you constantly hear about budgets and stuff, and it's like, I always feel like there's a choice that you can make to either do real or CGI, and most of the time people just choose CGI. And here, and like, it's like, they did the right choice. Like, yeah, set extension, a little bit of that kind of stuff just to bleed out the edges. But the fact that you decided to do sets is the thing that I feel like it sets the tone for everything in that movie. And gives you this kind of wonderful, wondrous, like, feeling, like the way that you felt about Wizard of Oz. Like, there's this place that actually exists. And there may be a transparency to it, but it still has this kind of spell that it casts over you. And I'm just like, wow, it's just an amazing thing. Like, and I love the fact that more and more people are finding it. It's not just like, if it was just the rabid fan base, it would have died already, but it's still like continually, like, it's making more and more money, with good reason, because it's a good movie. It's a great movie.
Well, do you know what the budget was?
No, I do not.
$150 million. Estimated budget of $150 million, which is a lot of money. A lot of money.
Yeah, but like, your highest paid people are Michelle Yeoh and Jeff Goldblum, right? And even then, they're supporting So, like, everybody else is kind of like Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande are both, and Jonathan Bailey are all, like, they're up and comers. Like, even though Ariana Grande is a massive pop star, right?
Yeah.
You're not gonna pay her.
You want to guess what the budget for Kraven the Hunter was?
Probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 to 100, 180 to 200.
Well, with the delays and the constant marketing, maybe, but just the budget of the film.
Yeah. Okay. So like
$110 million.
Oh my God.
So less. And it's not even that, like, I know you didn't see Kraven. It's not even that it looks bad. It doesn't really look bad. It's that you spend $110 million on a movie that does nothing. It moves nobody's needle, man. Like, no, I've seen a few people in, like, the comic book groups I'm in. They're like, hey, I went and saw it. It's not that bad. The problem isn't that it's not that bad. The problem is that it's not good. That's the problem. You spend $110 million on something that isn't good, that is really CGI enhanced. John Chu spent $150 million, built practical sets, made a 2-hour and 40-minute musical, and it's the best thing I've seen. It might be the best thing I've seen this year. I don't really want to say that because, like, I did see Deadpool and Wolverine 4 times, and it's still absolutely delightful. But, like, yeah, it's right there with it, man. And I know that's weird to put those two there together, but
like, we like what we like, right? Like, there's not a, like, for me, there's not a, how can I put this? Like, movies are movies, right? And whatever you love, you love. And, like, you know, you could put two disparagingly different movies together on the same list, but that's what makes it wonderful. Like, that's what makes film wonderful, right? You can have
a top. I'd go see this 3 more times. Now knowing where I can take a break and get up, you know, like I'm good, you know. I'm excited to revisit it. I'm really excited for the sequel. I can't imagine that there's no way this doesn't get all kinds of Oscar love. There's nothing like it. And, you know, yeah, it's doing so well. And I imagine once the people who aren't sure about going to see it in the theater see it at home, the sequel is probably going to do way better.
Yeah. No, I feel like this is, like, okay, so you were talking about a third one, and, like, supposedly the rumor is that they want to figure out a way to do, like, so, like, once this is done, because they're, like, supposedly they're taking out the Dorothy parts. They have Dorothy, and there are certain things that they're going to show about Dorothy. But,
well, you do see her very... And that, like, weird animated thing, yes, at the beginning, which that was at the beginning when that happened, I was like, that was right before I fell in love with the movie, because that was, I'm like, yeah, I'm not gonna like this. That is weird.
But also, it's a dare, right? It's a dare. Like, everything he does in that first 5 minutes is a dare to you. It's like, no, I'm going to rub your face in this. But also, it kind of sets it up to, like, so the rumor is that they want to figure out a way for, because Stephen Schwartz is writing stuff. And so, like, the rumor is that depending on how well the second one does, Wicked for the Good now, as it's called, yeah, that there's going to be a third one. And Schwartz is going to do what he's, like, what he kind of would love to do, which is, remake The Wizard of Oz, but do it from a Wicked perspective, to which I'm like, well, you do you, boo, because if you can pull this one, if you can land the ending, which, I mean, is it just like an afterthought now? Like, yeah, they probably are going to land the ending. Hope. But I mean, the whole thing is that if it lands the ending and it lands the box office, that they will be able to do the third, like, they make a trilogy and make it the Dorothy, like the story from Dorothy's perspective, but adding in a Wicked kind of context, which to me, like, that's kind of, I guess, the way that you do it. Like, I don't know, like, it's weird because it's like the Wizard of Oz is such a, it's kind of like Jaws where you don't touch it, right? But at the same
time, like, there have been attempts, but yeah, it's always somebody, I mean, much like Wicked itself, because it's in the public domain, it's someone doing a take on Wizard of Oz. Yeah. It's funny, I got in this discussion with somebody at work who wasn't really familiar with Wicked. Okay. And we were talking about it, and she brought up, you know, loving the Wizard of Oz, and it devolved into her asking about something Wizard of Oz related, and I was like, no, that's a different studio. And she was like, well, how can they do that? And I was like, well, it's in the public, and it just devolved into this whole thing. I was like, you know, the Wizard of Oz that you know isn't even the first adaptation of The Wizard of Oz. Like, it's like it's been adapted going back to like silent almost film. Silent film. Yeah. So I'm like, there's lots of Wizard of Oz things. So like doing another take isn't like I don't want to say it's not exciting. It's tackling specifically that Wizard of Oz, because that's where all of, like, even though it's all inspired by Frank L. Baum's work and Gregory Maguire's, this is something new. And like you said, it's even new from the original stage play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, going back and like cooking all of this back up, bringing those characters into it. I'm trying not to talk about things that you and I both know are going to happen, but like getting the Scarecrow and the Cowardly Lion and the Tin Man and, you know, like knowing where all of that comes from, it does add a new level. And so being able to retell the story with all of that in mind is really interesting. Yes. And I mean, if the movie makes a shit ton of money, even if the one they do is an absolute stinker, like, there's no way the studio's not going to try to do that.
No, absolutely.
The only way it doesn't get done is if they won't do it without Chu and the cast, and Chu and the cast are just like, nah. But I think Chu's down for it. So
I think he's too. I think he want, like, I think they all want to do it. I think they all want to, like, they understand, like, I think that they instantly understood that this is, like, for some people, this is like Star Wars. And, like, how do you not make that jump to, how do you not make that jump to, like, landing the ending?
Jesus, if only these people have wrote the prequels.
Jesus Christ, yeah, I know, seriously. I mean, and we're both, I mean, this comes from us both being, I hate using the word apologists, but prequel apologists. We both like the prequels. You know, yeah. So, anywho, like, yeah, like, I'm glad. I'm like relieved that, you know, as a fan of, like, you as a fan of the musical, loved the movie. Like, that is so, like, that is great. Like, I'm happy. I'm just happy that that has happened. And then you got to see it, like, and you got to see it on the big screen, because it definitely deserves to be on the big screen.
Yeah.
Or seen on the big screen. So
yeah, it's fantastic. And I may get a chance to go see it again this coming week, because I'm traveling, visiting family for holidays. So there may be some people that want to go see it. And if so, I'm going to be like, yeah, let's go see it. So, and tell them, just be prepared. It's 2 hours and 40 minutes. Please don't ask me how much longer. So yeah, that's other than our usual things, that's pretty much all I watched this week. Other than some, I didn't get to watch all of the second round of Secret Level, but I did watch some of it.
We can talk about that once you've completed it, because I feel it's like, I can say that, okay, I can say this much, for me, it was a mixed bag. Like, where the first, like, the first set was like, even if they were like all of them, I felt were bangers. Like, there wasn't one that felt.
I've watched, there's what, eight? I've watched five. So I've watched most of them.
Okay.
And I enjoy them. It's funny. I was like, how could Adam not like the Mega Man one? I had, before I saw it, I was like, I don't understand, man. It's the CGI kid running around in a Mega Man outfit. Yeah, yeah. It's not, though. That's the fucking problem. It's not the kid running around in the Mega. It literally ends with him being like, okay, now I'm Mega Man. Like, that's not what we came here for.
No, but like, okay, so like literally it takes.
I didn't want the fucking Mega Man origin story.
No, like my favorite part about that is that it's called Mega Man Start, and it literally is just the start of the Mega Man. Like, I was like, that's some bullshit.
Yeah,
like,
assholes, there better be another season, and there better be another Mega Man. Because exactly. I want to see Mega Man doing Mega Man shit.
I mean, it would be like I don't even under, like, that made me so mad.
Also, he's a fucking boy. Why would we call him Mega Man? This is so frustrating.
Right?
Why is he a child? I thought he's not really a child. He was made. But it's yeah, that one was pretty it was disappointing. It wasn't bad. It was just disappointing because I was like, this is not what I wanted.
No, it's absolutely not what you want, and that's what pissed me off. Was I was like, yeah, no, I don't want this, is not what I wanted. Like, I was like, what are you fucking kidding? Oh my God, it literally is what it says it is. It's because it's called Mega Man, comma, or semicolon, Start. And I'm just like, okay. I mean, it wasn't that I didn't, like, it's beautifully animated. Like, everything is beautifully animated. It's just that some work and some really don't. And in this half, like, there were three that worked for me, like, really worked. And then there were five that, or the four that didn't. Like, Mega Man Start, Spelunky Tally, Honor of Kings, The Way of All Things, and Playtime Fulfillment, all just were like, I could take it or leave it. But Outer Worlds, The Company We Keep, the love story one about the tester.
Is that the first? Yes, that one was fucking great. Oh,
fucking brilliant. Like, when I saw that one, I was like, oh shit, if they've kept the best ones for the second half. I mean, that one, like, that made me want to play Outer Worlds, and because Outer Worlds actually has another a sequel coming out. Have you seen the trailer for it?
No.
I mean, like, I didn't realize it was that kind of, like, sarcastic, shitty world.
Yeah.
It makes me want to play the first one. I so much so that I bought the Switch version.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So like, it was $20.
So this is the same folks that did Love and Sex and Robots, and
yeah,
or Love, Death and Robots, yeah. On Netflix. Now, maybe I'm misremembering this. I know you could choose which one you wanted to watch on Netflix, but if you just went to the play all function, it played them in a random order, didn't it?
Yes, it based off of your likes and dislikes, like
from okay, that's like, what I thought.
This one, it's not like
I know Amazon. It's Amazon, so it's different. But like, one of the things about that other show was that kind of like nobody watches them in the same order necessarily. And this, no. you're just watching them in the order that they chose. So, I think they lost something with that. Because just, even if it was just the eight broken up and you watched them in random order, like, this is a chosen order. So, you're not, once things go a little bit south, then you're more inclined to be like, oh, okay, they front loaded it, and now things are just getting progressively not as interesting. And so, yeah, it makes it a little rough. Whereas, like, that show, like, I would, whenever a new season was on, I would press play and be like, okay, like, what am I gonna see? And if I didn't like it, it'd be like, okay, that was 12 minutes. Didn't really enjoy that one, but this is random. So, like, what's the next one going to be? And this one, it feels programmed too. And yeah, I think that's not great for what they're trying to do. So maybe Amazon, if they're doing more, maybe Amazon needs to figure that out. I think randomness would help this. Like, make it a little bit more enticing rather than being like, oh, yeah, I didn't like the last two. So I think I'm just going to stop watching for tonight. So maybe I'll, you know, jump around myself and like, oh, this one looks interesting. I'll start there. So, but yeah, like I'm more or less with you. But the first half was a mixed bag for me. So, so I kind of feel like that about all of it. So, yeah, that's all I've been watching. So,
So here's an interesting question for you. Did you know that there is a new version of the Three Musketeers?
I did not.
Yes. Okay. So, the French decided that they were going to make a epic two-part, all in French, starring like a bunch of French superstars. Two-part version of the Three Musketeers. This came out in last year, and I mentioned this for context. I just recently saw them. They are fucking wonderful. They're like, they are what I've always wanted from Three Musketeers. They're two-part. The first one is called Three Musketeers D'Artagnan. The second one is called Three Musketeers Milady. Some of the people that you might know that star in it are Vince Cassell, and then Eva Green. Eva Green plays Milady de Winter, of course.
I like Eva Green.
Yes. So, like, these are truly great, well-made, lush productions. Like, they are what they're what my childhood memories of the Stephen Herrick Three Musketeers is. Like, I say that because I've watched the Herrick Three Musketeers, and it's fun, but man, like, it's not as great as you remember it was. It was very much like from the Robin Hood Prince of Thieves mold, right? This kind of, like, these two movies correct that and make truly great versions of the Alexandre Dumas novel. I mention this because the adaptations are what work in this. The screenplays by Mathieu Delaporte and Alexandre de la Patellier. I'm going to totally ruin their fucking names. And I'm sorry, because they just did a new adaptation of Dumas's Count of Monte Cristo. It made a splash at Cannes. It's one of the biggest movies of the year in France. And they're releasing it at the end of the year in select theaters, and then wider in January. And I mention this because this fucking movie is awesome. Like if you've read the Dumas novel or you've watched other versions of this, this is like a 3-hour lush version of the movie, of the story. I will say, bar none, this is my favorite adaptation of that book. I've read it. I love it. I know one of your favorite movies of all time is kind of a play on it, because Shawshank Redemption.
Well, I mean, there's so much how they bring it up in Shawshank Redemption. King does that a lot. He's like, if I say the thing that I'm partially inspired by, then maybe no one will write me a letter and be like, hey, you know, you're just ripping off this book, right?
And it's so, the screenwriters of The Three Musketeers not only wrote the script, but they actually transitioned over to the directing chair. And like, I cannot express to you how or why it works the way it does. I know why, because this is not a CGI mess. They chose to do everything on location in Italy and France with real locations. So no set extensions, because, you know, in France and in Italy, the kinds of like castles and like places that that this story took place in the 19th century would actually still exist. It's so fucking good. Like, it takes some modern cues to things. It's 3 hours. It's like 2 hours and 58 minutes, but they know how to tell a story, and the story is so good. The way that they tell it is so good. It has almost like it's very much like influence from Raiders and Mission Impossible. It's very much so like those kind of two genres melded together. But it still takes place in the 18th century. And the guy who plays the lead, Pierre Nini, is just great. He plays Edmond Dantès, but he's kind of like an Ethan Hunt, but after he's gone to prison and, you know the story. Like I said, I sat there, and the biggest regret I have, and I'm probably going to course correct this, is that I watched it on my 85-inch, and it just wasn't big enough. It's designed to be seen on a big, big screen. So when it comes out at the end of the year, I think I'm going to go make a trek out to L.A. I know what theater they're showing it in, and I'm hoping that they have it in the biggest theater, because Jesus fucking Christ, this thing is gorgeous. It's shot to make, like, it's shot like Spielberg used to shoot things, where it's designed for the big screen. And that was my only biggest regret, was that, like, my screen, even though I have an 85-inch big screen TV, it just wasn't enough. I don't even think if I brought it over to my friend's house to watch it on the projector, his 100-inch screen, or I think it's 125, it still wouldn't be big enough. Like, it really does need that 60-foot screen. And it, like I said, it's like probably one of the best movies I've seen all year. And I was just flabbergasted, because I had heard about it when I was going to go to Fantastic Fest before, like, financial things came up. It was actually playing there, and I wanted to go see it. And Scott said that when he went, he couldn't get in to see it because it sold out so quickly. One of his bigger regrets, not being able to see it. I mean, it's literally the biggest budgeted French movie made. Like, it cost something like in the neighborhood of like $70 million, or no, 65 million, and it's made over 100 million worldwide so far. It is a great, great, great movie. An oft-told tale, but told in a way that was just the right way. And
you think that's why it's because everybody does riffs on Count of Monte Cristo? That's why. I mean, it's been 22 years since there was a big film adaptation of that story.
Yeah.
There was, early 2000s when the Jim Caviezel film came out, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I also think, like, they were bold enough to make some decisions at the end that completely change and... what I feel is course correct the issues of the Dumas novel at the end. Because to me, the Dumas novel does not work at the end because of the way that it's set up. But here, they make smart choices that you go, yeah, what? They did that? But that makes sense. The three film festivals it went to, it won Best Picture. The French Lumiere Awards, which are like their Golden Globes. It's been nominated for Best Director, Best Actor, and Best Cinematography, which, like, I mean, like, the Césars have not, which is their French Oscars, have not. It's been shortlisted for France. Or it's France's choice for its best international feature. The review is on the site. I've already written a review about it. I'm very praised. I was very praised, effusive praise for it. And it's well worth it. So if it comes out in your area, or when you see it on VOD, if you want a primer for the kind of style of film it is, Apple TV has a deal right now on the Three Musketeers. They have a 2-pack for it. I think that's $10 for 4K versions of them. So you get both of them for the cost of one movie. You will be genuinely surprised at these, like, because you think, like, it's like, oh, fucking Three Musketeers, like Richard Lester, like, you know, is the standard, right? Or the Herrick movie is the standard. But then you watch these movies and you go, shit, they got it right. They got, like, everything feels right. Like, it should be, like, why didn't we see French versions of these a while ago? Why did we have to see the Paul W.S. Anderson 3D version with fucking, what's her name in it? Resident Evil, Mila Jovovich. But yeah, like, I'm very high on these three movies. And they're very worthy. And especially if you're looking for something big budget, adventure style, you could do a lot worse than these.
I actually forgot that Paul W.S. Anderson made a Three Musketeers movie.
I think everybody did, including him. I think he wanted to forget it. I think it is, like, isn't it star Logan Learman? Like, yeah. When Logan Learman was a thing?
Yeah,
like,
Matthew McFadden's in it.
That's right. That's right.
Ray Stevenson's Porthos.
Yes, that's right.
Luke Porthos. Evans is in it.
Oh, that's right. Like, there's so many people.
Orlando Bloom.
Yeah, he plays the.
Mads Mikkelsen's in it.
Doesn't Mads play the whatchamacallit?
He plays
Christoph Waltz plays Richelieu.
Yeah. 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 I mean, it had a cast, but.
And even James Corden. I forgot fucking James Corden is in that fucking movie. Cringe, silly. Oh, good Lord. Yeah, that's right. Juno Temple is in it. Oh my God, I forgot about that. I might actually have to rewatch it for at least a couple of minutes and then go, oh yeah, that's why I don't remember this.
Yeah.
And then turn it off. That's right. That's right. Logan Learman, when he was a thing. but yeah, so other than Secret Level in these movies, I haven't been in Skeleton Crew, not much else I've been watching. I do have a question for you,
yeah.
Because you're our resident Karate Kid expert.
I watched the trailer.
Okay, so can you answer me this?
No.
what the fuck world does it take?
I don't know, man. Like, we kind of already knew that they were just not going to involve anybody except Ralph Macchio from the show.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. You've been watching the show.
Mm-hmm.
He's the fucking worst part of the show.
He really is.
And so it's just like, okay, well, that's great. I mean, I appreciate that we're going to get, because I feel like the show can't do this, like, delving into Mr. Miyagi's past justice in the, like, four episodes we're going to get in a month. Mm-hmm. So knowing that they're going to continue that story is nice. So we'll get that conclusion in the film, I guess. But, like, everything else is just like, I just like Johnny and these kids, man. Like, Even when I'm just like, he's being a dick, I still like him. And, like, they've made him such a likable character. Like, I hate it when Ralph Macchio's on the screen.
I just don't understand. Like, I watched it and I'm like, okay, so is it the melding of the cinema universe, and then let's just leave out the Cobra Kai, and Cobra Kai is like a different universe than the MCU.
You are telling me that there's a Karate Kid multiverse, I, not to you specifically, but just to the fucking world, am saying, fuck you. I do not want a Karate Kid multiverse. Like, I guess it kind of already exists because there was a Karate Kid cartoon that I'm pretty sure I saw on Tubi as well. But that's whatever. Nobody remembers that. I don't want a Karate Kid multiverse, man. Like, as it stands now, every Karate Kid can be canon. Like, even the new Karate Kid, it's canon. Like, everything's canon. Like, some stuff maybe doesn't jibe, but, like, that's just the way it is. Like, but it can all be canon. But, like, if we go into this movie and it's like Cobra Kai never happened, then I don't know what we're doing, man. Like, why? Why? This show is a huge success.
Yeah.
It and is. For making another movie and pretending like the show doesn't exist is shitting on the people that like that show. Me included.
And that's the thing that I'm like, so what is this? Like, I'm really genuinely curious. Like it almost feels like it's a sequel to the Jaden Smith Karate Kid, but without Jaden Smith.
And yeah, like, that's the other thing. It's just like, he's like, this, like, Jackie Chan being like, he's like my Danielson. I'm like, didn't you already have one of those?
Yeah. But it's not like, let's, I guess we're going to forget about, we're going to forget about Jaden Smith because he's just a little too weird. Yeah.
It's not a bad trailer. It's just like, it's more not, fresh. Yeah, it just leaves me wondering about things. And, you know, I don't know. I don't think you're going to sell people on going to see this movie. One, because it's called The Karate Kid. Like, adults that remember that will go see it. But anybody who's younger, who, like, they know Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
So you're not selling them on the Karate Kid name. So, and not having anybody except him in the marketing, which makes it look like none of them are in the movie, and I think that's probably true. That's not going to get fans of the show, which is successful, out to go see this movie. It might actually get them not to go see it.
Yeah.
It's going to backfire because I like Ralph Macchio, but buddy, you ain't a draw, man. You know, so yeah, it's gonna be weird. We'll see what happens, but yeah, that trailer, it didn't make me mad. It just made me like shrug my shoulders and just be like, why, man? Like, how much you spend on that movie? You know what? You could have gave me another season of Cobra Kai. I would have been down for that because I don't know how much that show cost, but even if it was just 8 more episodes of Cobra Kai, okay.
I to be perfectly honest, like, I feel like they say that Cobra Kai is finished after the season. I think it's just going to take an extended break, and then they're going to actually do Cobra Kai movies because it makes more sense. It makes more sense to get together every couple of years and do a Cobra Kai movie that you can sell. Like, and like let's make no mistakes about this, guys. It's not a Netflix it's a Netflix show, but it's not a Netflix production. It's actually Sony. So that's why Sony, that's why we're getting an actual movie in the theaters. And I have a feeling the reason why Sony is ending it so they don't have to continue to deal with Netflix, and I think that they're just going to they're going to have everybody move over to movies, because that makes more sense if you think about, like, it's kind of like, and I know this, like, it finally clicked in season 3 what this is. This is fucking Fast and the Furious for teenagers.
Yeah.
That's all it is. That's literally, it's the same thing that you would do in, like, this is like Fast and Furious, but with Kung Fu or with karate, right? Like, it has all of the things that you could possibly want in a Fast and Furious movie. And it kind of takes up, it occupies that same space. So I feel like making movies every 2 years and making a nice tidy sum out of like, you know, you make a $50 million movie, you put it on the big screen, you have everybody else involved, you have everybody from the series, and then you also get Academy Award winner, what's her name? I can't even think of her name now. The one that was in the fourth one, the next Karate Kid.
Oh, Hilary Swank.
Hilary Swank to come back because it's a movie, and you set it in the Valley again, all Valley tournament or whatever you want to do, whatever storylines you want to do, you take them back to Japan, right? Like, I mean, shit, they went back to Japan. But you do whatever on the big screen, and you make a nice tidy sum every 2 years, and then you can have another five movies, and you don't really have to worry about Johnny and Ralph Macchio. They're in their 50s. Like, I mean, they're going to age out anyways. It doesn't matter. It's the kids that matter, right? And all the kids are in their 20s, like late 20s, early 30s at the most. I think they're all actually in their late 20s. I don't think that any of them are past that. And like, it makes more financial sense for Sony to do that. And that's why they're ending the TV series. I can almost guarantee it. And like, you know, then you can put Jackie in it too, because I was just reading, everybody confirms this takes place in the same universe. It is. Like, I just read an article, like I was searching for it, and Hurwitz.
I mean, that's good. Cause
yeah,
I'm telling you, nobody wants a fucking Karate Kid multiverse.
No, they don't. Nobody does. You know, nobody does. But, yeah, I was curious to see what you said, because like I'm slowly becoming a fan. Like it's not perfect, but
it's
nothing
dumb.
Else.
It's dumb. Yes. It's very yes. dumb.
It's but... very much so. Like, you know what it is? Like I told you, like as soon as I made the connection, oh, this is just Fast and Furious with karate. It made so much more sense to me, and it allowed me to relax and just go. The acting, the weird Ralph Macchio shit is like a part of it. The weird Johnny stuff is it's a part of it. Like all of the guest stars that like it's all part of like this weird telenovela-ness of it all, like a soap opera, but for teenage kids, you know? Yeah. So yeah, like I will report back once I finish it up. I don't know when. I'm actually preoccupied right now. I think I showed you a picture or something. I actually am diving into, and I just already got hooked because how can you not when you have Seinfeld on 4K? Like,
yeah.
Watching it from the beginning, like, dude, I forgot how raw and weird it was at the beginning, the first two seasons, and how undefined everything was. But man, am I having a lot of fun with
this. It's funny you say first two seasons. People now who... like younger people now might think, oh, yeah. First two seasons is like the first 20 episodes. And
no,
from our age, if you said first two seasons, people might think it's like 30 or 40 episodes.
40. Exactly.
The first two seasons of Seinfeld are like five episodes.
Yes. Five episodes, guys. It's like, no, it's like seven. It's like a weird number. It's like seven, I think. I have the first, like, I literally watched the first two seasons last night and was delighted that, like, in the first episode, you don't know what Jerry's name is, you don't know what George's name is, and you don't know what Kramer, and what's her name is, Elaine doesn't even show up until the second episode, and yeah. she's kind of like a situationship with Jerry. Like the whole first, second episode deals with Jerry and her. No, it's the third episode. It deals with her and their situationship. Like, which I was like, it was wild. And I will make one thing. Like, because it's been so long since I've actually watched it in order, I didn't realize how much Quentin Tarantino stole wholeheartedly from Jerry and Larry's like dialogue in those first like five episodes.
Oh yeah, that the way that it moves, it's very like you can see Tarantino being like, yeah, that's the way, but that's kind of the way he talks too. So yes. Like it is like stealing up from it like cinematically, but it is also like just the way Tarantino talks. It's the way Larry David talks, you know. Yes. And it's just like that, it's who they are, but like it is weird, like he sees, once you see them doing it on screen, it's just like, oh, I can do that too. So, yeah.
It was very weird. But I mean, like, I will continue to give everybody Seinfeld updates from the 4K and the 4K. Dude, I know that you said that, like, you're like, no, I've got my version. Like, the first one is really rough because they couldn't, like, I was actually reading up on it. They couldn't find the original 16 millimeter masters.
Yeah.
So all they had was video. So that first one looks like shit.
The first one already, like, even on DVD, it looked like shit.
Yeah. But you get to the second and third episodes, dude, it's a completely new show. Like, it looks way different. Like, so much so that you can tell, like, you can tell they changed the sets between 1, 2, and 3. Like, they were trying to figure out Jerry's apartment. And you can literally tell it goes from, like, a dank-ass, like, really shitty-looking, like, almost like a 7-esque apartment with, like...
That creates the problem in making his apartment impossible to occupy the actual space that it's in, because they kept modifying. The problem is, I watched the show so much, like, 4K, it will look wonderful, but, like, I'm not going to see anything I haven't already seen, because I've watched the show so fucking much. I'm just like, yeah, okay, this is when the Superman statue starts showing up on the bookcase. This is when he gets that little nook. This is when he gets the computer desk, and the computer's there, and, like, all of that, it changes so much. Like, the kitchen area gets this weird angle to it. All that stuff. It's so wild. And it's funny, I have the Seinfeld Lego set.
Yeah.
And when you put it together, it's the final Jerry apartment. And it does have that unrealistic space. Like, there's a very small hallway space outside that you can't get into because his apartment takes up so much space. Like, that hallway can't exist.
And that, like, kind of led me to, like, this weird, like, kind of deep dive into, like, weird kind of production design of it. Cause, like, I remembered, I was like, Jesus Christ, where's all this and this and this? And I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. Cause it's still like 12 seasons of shit. Like, it literally started in the 80s and ended almost at the new millennium. Like, that's the craziest part to me, is that it occupied 3 decades. And I also forgot how much intuitively, like, those first episodes are so, like, we don't talk about those first, like, 7 or 8 episodes. It's not until, like, probably around, like, season 3 or 4, and then not even season 3, but, like, well into season 3, that Seinfeld becomes, quote-unquote, Seinfeld. Yeah. Right?
It grew every single year. Every single year, it got more and more popular, which now is almost impossible to do on network television. I think Big Bang did it. But hell, that show's been off the air for
a while, right?
Like 10 years?
Yeah. It was the last Big Bang. Young Sheldon is, but I mean, you also got Young Sheldon, and then you got George in whatchamacallit, the early years.
And now they're doing the new, there's another spinoff coming.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Stuart, the comic book store owner.
Oh, yeah.
Him, the girl that he is dating, I think, at the end. Okay. And, God, what's that guy's name? I think his name's Bert in the show, but he's glasses real about. Tall. He does, has that real kind of droll voice. That he's like a geologist or something in the show. He's getting 5 years ago. Big Bang, it wasn't a decade ago. It's 5 years ago, but still five years ago. So, it's hard for a show to, like, continually grow and get a new audience. Now it's more difficult because shows aren't designed to go into, like, 100 episode runs so that you can air them in syndication. So you can't build the audience. Like, that's what built those audiences was syndication, yep. because people would catch Seinfeld in syndication. That's why the episodes of Seinfeld that people talk about are not in the first three seasons. Like a couple yep. of them, the Chinese restaurant, you know, what's another early one? Because Chinese restaurant was like season, like early season two, maybe.
Yes, very early season two.
A few of them, mm-hmm. and but the ones everybody fucking talks about are in like season four to like season eight.
mm-hmm. Prime time, which
yeah,
like by the time season four hits on a show, most of them are done. Like most of them are over with, right? Like, which is wild. I did want to ask you something since you did bring up we were talking about TV. Did you hear about Kevin Smith like is making a
secret comic book show? But show, like that's misleading.
yeah. It's called Local Heroes, and it's about a comic book store owner and the people around it that solve mysteries. Yes. That's slightly based off of his own comic book store, which I find
the second show he's gotten into production based off his own comic book store.
Yes.
What's funny is the store is currently run by people who weren't part of the OG world. Like all yes. of those guys have moved on. And so, yeah, it's a little strange. I mean, I'm certainly going to watch it. So, he hasn't done anything for television that made outside of Comic Book Men, which at the time, nobody thought it was doing anything. But like now, if you look at their numbers, it's like, well, fuck, we'd kill to have 1.5 million people watching live television on a Sunday Seriously. Night, you know?
Well, the most interesting part about the show is that he's working with the creators of Hacks to make yeah. to develop the show,
yeah.
which I find interesting, very interesting.
It gives me a little more hope for it. Not that, I mean, I'll watch anything Smith does, but...
Yeah.
He just doesn't have a great track record with this. No. So I'm like, well, he's probably not the one to handle the like day-to-day shit on this. so if it even gets off the ground, like they might film a pilot. He's filmed a dozen pilots for things that just never happened. So, yeah. It is what it is.
No, it is, but I can always hope that it ends up like Reaper, which is my favorite thing that he's yeah. like that he's ever been associated with. And if you guys don't know Reaper, go ahead and check it out.
He directed the pilot episode, I think, or the yes. second episode.
No, pilot, then, the first two episodes.
Yeah. But yeah, it's Rob Thomas, not the singer, the producer Rob Thomas that was over Reaper, right? He's the showrunner? Yeah.
I think yeah. he was the showrunner. Yeah.
That's the Veronica Mars guy.
Yes.
So, yeah. He does good work. So
yes, he does. And another piece of news that people should be aware of. They announced that Man on the Inside actually officially has season two. And it will be end of the year next year.
Oh,
haven't good. Put the cast together, but they already have the story. They already know they're, I think they already have the episodes written. They just have to put it into production, but they got the green light from Netflix.
Hell yeah.
So absolutely. Let's talk about
that trailer, man.
Yeah. So they dropped Legacy and it's now just called Superman.
So that's actually been for a while that they dropped Legacy.
Oh, like, they did. Okay.
Yeah, okay. I was listening to another podcast about this, and they kept referring to it as Superman Legacy before the trailer dropped. They were like, the Superman Legacy trailer is going to drop. I'm like, guys, he dropped the, like, he announced, like, hey, it's just going to be called Superman. Like, we're dropping the Legacy. We think Superman works. This has been over the summer, I think, they officially dropped the Legacy part of Superman Legacy.
Okay.
So, because the thinking was, no movie has ever just been called Superman. It's Superman the movie.
That's true.
Is the official title of the first Chris Reeves Superman. And then, of course, Superman 2, Superman 3, so, you know, so on and so forth. Man of Steel. So, yeah, we got our first teaser trailer for Superman coming next year from James Gunn, Warner Brothers, and DC. And you know what, man? I think specifically for me and you, if you really, really want to get us, like, right from the jump, give us the dog.
Goddamn crypto, man. Dude, I don't even know. Like, I told you that, I was like, he's going to probably make me cry. And he goes instantly for it. Like crypto helping Superman, it's too much, man. It was too much for me. Between that, I think I texted you. I said, between crypto being a good boy and taking him home, and
yeah.
He hands crypto his cape. From that and the Vince Taylor moment, dude, I was a puddle. I was like, I need to see this. This is going to be so special. Like, he gets it. He gets that, like, Pa Kent doesn't have to be fucking Kevin Costner or fucking Yellowstone. Yeah. Stupid bullshit.
And he looks like a regular fucking dude.
Like a dude that has worked hard all of his fucking life.
And,
you know,
and might kill over and have a heart attack.
Exactly. And break your fucking heart. Like, having a moment with his son. Like, I feel like that's like, I don't know. It worked. Like, the trailer, like, the teaser gave us a taste of, like, I feel
and
like
fucking saving that girl, man.
Oh my God.
Like, and then, like, Luther, like, looking out the window, and the minute you just in the distance, you see, like, the little dot that is Superman fly by, and immediately he just turns around and is fucking just furious. Just furious.
Mm-hmm. Just, like, it's like all, like, or the moment where that fucking dude just, that
girls
dude just,
that
like, throws a
can or whatever at it. Yeah.
It's like all these things, like Rachel Brosnan as Lois, like,
yeah, she's gonna tear it up, man.
Oh, she really is. Like I feel like we're gonna get our first true, great Lois. Like, we've had good Loises, but I don't know if they've ever been given the space to be great. And I feel like this just might be it.
Superman and Lois. Like, she really fucking...
I do have to check that out, don't I?
I mean, she is so good on the show. The whole cast is. But, like, that's the template. Like, that's the, you know, the show does have its CW-ness, but that, for Lois, like, that's the template. Like, you know, one of the storylines in that show is she gets cancer, but, like, they don't, like, watching Lois Lane go through cancer, it shows you who that character is. There's no quit in her.
No.
And, like, just those few frames of her from this movie, it's like, yeah, that's the kind of Lois that we're going to get. There's not going to be, you know, any kind of damsel in distress shit. So,
yeah.
Which, I mean, Margot Kidder was kind of that way, but she was also, like, needlessly always putting herself in danger. So, just to, you know, try to, like, whatever, get the story. We got our first glimpse at Guy Gardner, played by Nathan Fillion, with, you know, an absolutely terrible haircut that is taken directly from the comics. I wish the hair were a little redder, because it's really red in the comics. Like, it's full, like, and this is more of like a blondish red. But I mean, I get it. Maybe it didn't look right on film. Who knows? You know, maybe it looked, maybe somehow it even looked goofier if it was really red and they were like, we got to lighten it up. So,
but it might have conflicted with Superman's cape and Superman's red. Like, you know, it's really like just the fact that they did the fucking haircut.
It's wild. Like that. Because you, like, that had to be a studio note. Like, hey, we're not gonna give him this hair, right?
Yeah.
Like, no, yeah, we are. No, we're doing the hair. Like, and Gunn says we're doing it, and, like, Nathan Fillion absolutely seems like the kind of guy who's been like, listen, the only reason I really want to do this is to do it with the hair. So, like, we're doing it with the hair.
Absolutely. Like, we get our first glimpse of Hawkgirl. Like,
I mean, flying into fucking action, man. Yeah. Come on. I can't wait to see her.
Oh, God. Like, she's going to, like, it already, like, Isabel Merced, like, I mean, oh, man.
The worst thing about that is the Green Lantern that we're getting in this movie is Hal Jordan. And if you are a Justice League / Justice League Unlimited person, you know that, like,
it's
her and John Stewart, man. Like, that was the, like, they're definitely hooking up. Those two are definitely hooking up.
But you also know that Aaron Pierre is playing, like, John Stewart. Like, we already know that he's already been cast. So,
hopefully Hawkgirl is showing up in that show, or at some point in the future, we're getting, like, hey, what's up? Like, it don't have to be explicitly showing us that they're hooking up, but, like, you gotta reference that from the show, man, because we were all there for it. So
yes,
you gotta give it to us. Just a little moment. Do you think that's Brainiac that we see in the trailer? That for like 1 second, you see this dude whose face is just weird.
Yeah, it has like the it almost looks like stone carving.
Yeah.
of like Peruvian what are the crop dusting crop circles. Yeah. I think it is. Like, though we are not confirmed that he appears, right?
No.
Like, are we confirmed? Because I know that there's been a lot of conjecture about like who's actually showing up and who is not showing up. But yeah, like, it definitely looks like him. Like, I played it 3 or 4 times, and I'm like, is that their version of Brainiac? I mean, this is called Gods and, like, this era is supposedly called Gods and Monsters. And you definitely have the monsters part there, and Brainiac
with a god and a monster. Giant kaiju. And, like, so, like, at the very end of the trailer, when they're, at the window embracing, and it's like all dark outside, you can see these like green tentacles like flapping like on the other side of the window. You can't make out what that is, but like that feels like a Brainiac ship kind of thing, because you know he had that weird giant ship that was also his, like, looked like his head. Like, why the fuck you build a ship that looks like your head? I don't know. But that weird like skull ship, and it had all the like little tentacle things on the side of it. So
now, like, if we do get a Brainiac, do we? Okay, so like, my question is Gunn crazy enough. Is Gunn like a fucker enough to like make a mechanical spider and make him fight a mechanical spider, a la Tim Burton, Peter Goober, John Peters, Superman, Superman Reborn?
I think he had way more stuff he wanted to get into the movie than to pay off a joke from, you know, decades ago that not everyone will get. I mean, it would be really funny, but I mean, also the Flash already did it.
That's true. I never even thought about that. I mean, like, I never thought in my wildest dreams we'd be getting a crypto. Like, only to be perfectly honest, like that is like that's wild
there, for me. Out of there are people fucking complaining saying he looks terrible. I'm like, what are y'all watching this on?
Yeah, seriously. Like, what are you watching?
Like, are you watching like a fucking giant 4K projection of it? Like, I don't. No, you'd have to be watching it in like the shittiest resolution possible. I watched it on my phone. I was like, I don't know what y'all are seeing. That fucking dog looks awesome, man.
Yeah.
Like, I can't really wait for the dog. Fuck the Superman movie. Give me the Super Pets movie. I know we already had it, but, you know, the quote Disney version, live action version of Super Pets. Give me that. I want to see Streaky the fucking... it's already been memeified. I meant to save it and send it to you. It cracked me up. It was that opening shot of Superman, like, bloodied and beaten up, laying in the snow. Yeah. And it was just him doing the thing that everybody does to their cats, doing the...
Oh, I've seen that.
And then the cat's looking at the snow and just staring at him. And then you go back to him and it's just, he's dead. It's just like skull and bones. Like, cause the cat's not going to rescue you. They're assholes.
Some of the things that were absent, we did not see, even though we saw it in the preview, we saw it in the like weird preview thing that they showed us. We did not see Jimmy or Perry. Who's supposedly there.
I think they're probably in that wide shot of the Daily, I almost called it the Daily Bugle, the Daily Planet. They're probably in the wide shot, but I mean, who's going to zoom in to try to find them? Did you see the video of, I forget the kid's name that's playing Jimmy Olsen from the set? Yes. He's like, you guys want to hang out with Superman? And he's like, goes to David Cornsway. He's like, Who are we talking about?
We didn't see the engineer.
Yeah.
Who's supposedly like the even though James Gunn says, like he later said, he's like, she's there. The engineer is there. You just don't know that she's there. And I'm like, okay, so is she one of the shots where, like you were saying, like the green thing, like, or like the cosmic stuff that's going on during that whole like at night scene, like in the apartment between Lois and Soup. Like, I'm like wondering if maybe she's there. And then we haven't seen Miss Tessmacher yet, but that's probably, you know, there's just little things that we haven't seen.
Yeah, we haven't seen Cat Grant. We haven't seen Maxwell Lord. Rumors are that Millie Alcock will show up in the movie as Supergirl, because they're doing that next, and that Frank Grillo will show up in the movie, which that wouldn't surprise me. Or it also wouldn't surprise me if it was a post-credits thing. So
yeah, and to be clear, guys, Maxwell Lord is supposed to be playing by Sean Gunn, not Pedro Pascal, who played in Wonder Woman 1984. Oh,
this is a whole different universe. So.
Yes. I am curious.
We did see Mr. Terrific, though.
Yes, we did. Which was kind of odd. Like, to be perfectly honest, like it took me a second. I was like, oh, is that? And then I had to go and look online, and I was like, yep, that's Mr. Terrific. It's weird to see, my big takeaway, even though like it's what I love about Donner's version, just how colorful and bright it is, just how wonderfully like poppy it is. Because this is James Gunn. So we knew that it was going to be something like this. But after the years and years of the Snyderverse and all of these fun, like first off, like how pissed off do you think the Snyderverse idiots are right now at this? Like at this version of Superman?
I can tell you how pissed off they are. I know you're not really
have you, go ahead.
I was going to say, you're not really active on, like, Twitter. I think it was David Ayer on Twitter. First reacted to James Gunn saying that the trailer was coming. Then reacted to seeing the trailer. All positive. All like, this looks incredible. I'm so happy for you. Can't wait to see the finished product. Like, all just what, that's not verbatim, but very positive, just like supportive.
Nice.
Yeah, they fucking went after David Ayer.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
They went after David Ayer? No.
All the Snyder Bros went after David Ayer, talking about how he was a fucking corporate suck up and like, so this is the new boss, and rather than like, sticking true to like Snyder, and he's the one that, you know, helped you, like, it's just bullshit. It's such bullshit. Like, and he blew up, man. Like, you can probably Google it and read his tweet, but you know, the nicest version of fuck you people that he could possibly say. Like, this is a colleague of somebody saying, and somebody who clearly has a love for the things in this universe and this sandbox. Like, maybe he definitely didn't make the best film out of the toys he got to play with, but he definitely has a love and appreciation for those toys and all the other toys in the sandbox, and wants to see what they're gonna make. Like, yeah.
That's wild. Yeah. To me, that is absolutely wild. And you know what? That tells me everything I need to know about the Snyderverse Bros. Like really? Like you're gonna do that? Okay. Like, I mean,
after David Ayer for just being like, "Hey man, this looks great. I can't wait to see it."
Yeah. Like Jesus Christ. So what makes me so sad for these people is that they're never gonna be happy. Like they weren't happy with the movies that they got, and they got a ton of them. Like considering the level of bullshit.
Yeah. That
those things.
It's amazing but I mean, how Sony got their movies off the ground too.
But also here's the thing is that they got their 4-hour.
Yeah. You got your Justice League, man.
Your Justice League. This is what I don't understand is that you got your Justice League, right? I mean, you literally got it. People were saying, literally industry pundits were like, there's no way that they're going to ever do this because you would literally have to just invest like $80 to $90 million, $80 to $100 million. And what did they do?
They did it thinking that it would boost, like, okay, well, then the next movie we put out for this universe, people. But, I mean, y'all saying you're supporting it, but, like, then you didn't go see the fucking movies that they put about. Nobody showed up for Shazam. Nobody showed up for Blue Beetle. Nobody fucking showed up for The Flash.
No.
Like,
nope.
Or no Black Adam. Yeah. Like, it's wild, which, not to... Have you seen The Rock's social media posts about now? It's not wrong, but it's the way. So, Red One is streaming on Amazon Prime, and it did bonkers for them streaming. Like it got so many views.
It's 60 million views, something like that.
It's like the most watched thing ever on Amazon Prime, which is great. But spinning that, it was a box office damn near disaster. And just like The Rock posting, like, you know, our Christmas movie, it's gonna last a lifetime. And like, it's just, I'm so tired of his like media promotion stuff. Like, I don't know, man. Like, this ain't wrestling. Yeah. Please stop cutting promos. Anyway, yeah, none of you Snyder folks showed up for the movies that were still set in that universe to prove it was still a viable thing. So they yanked the rug out from under it. Like, it just is what it is, man. Like, they started moving on with the Batman, and then they gave James Gunn the keys to the kingdom. And, I mean, honestly, probably after the Batman 2 or whatever they're going to call it, I mean, we might be done with that. I know they're saying Clayface, but here's the thing. That could very well just be in the James Gunn universe. Like, it could be co-developed by both of them, but we don't know what the Clayface thing is going to be. I don't think that Clayface feels like a villain in that Batman universe.
No, at all. Like, well, like, to be perfectly honest, after Penguin, like, it's got to be Penguin. It's got to be Penguin. Like, that entire thing has to come back. Like,
yeah, like, for the Batman too. Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
And it's like, I mean, yes, they can also have an alternate villain. They can have an additional thing, but like, if he's building a story based off of crime, right? And this is genuinely like. He had his fingers in this, right? Like, I've been thinking about this. Like, I mean, Reeves had his fingers. Like, he developed this. Like, this was his B story that's going to bridge the gap. Like, he's even said it's bridging the gap between this and the Batman Part 2. That means that he's doubling down on this crime odyssey, right, that he's going on. And, yeah, it's just going to be one of those things where it's going to be completely, entirely different. I hope that it's just a twofer. Like, could you imagine if it was just a twofer with a series in between, right? Mm-hmm. And he didn't make like, he did what Nolan didn't have the balls to do, which is do two and done. Because, like anybody who knows anything and has read what Nolan said at the time of The Dark Knight was, that ending was supposed to be the fucking ending of it. He was only making two movies. He did not want to make a third movie, and Warner Brothers bullied him into making three movies. Like, Matt Reeves has it such that James Gunn will allow him to do whatever the fuck he wants, because they're going to have two Batmans. I mean, eventually they're going to cast whoever they're going to cast as Batman.
They moved up Supergirl in production.
Yep.
It's the next to go. And while I do believe him that they're moving forward with that quicker than they expected because of the strength of the story, I also think it's strategic to give the second Matt Reeves Batman the runway it's going to need. And so it's not like really close to their Batman. So, because now it'll be a couple of years before we get James Gunn's Batman.
Yep. Whatever the, like, you know, whatever iteration it is. And, but also, like, I've heard they've had a hard time reconciling how they want to cast it. Because, like, the story, like, so initially the story was going to be a Damian story with Batman in it, but they found it so impossible to find a kid to occupy Damian, like to cast Damian, that it became this thing where it was like, which I'm like, just cast the kid who played, what's his name's kid in the Umbrella Academy and call it quits. That's what you could have done. I mean, he promised
by the time you get there, he's too old.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. But also, the thing is that how do you cast a second Batman when you have Pattinson, who, like, he's literally the Kurt Cobain of Batmans? And I'm not saying that as an insult. I'm saying that as a compliment. He literally is defining, like, he is the So, like, for better or for worse, and I hate saying this, like, Timothy Chalamet with his Dune movies is basically Mark Hamill 2.0, right? Like, that's, he is for a generation of kids between the ages of 10 to like 22. He is like that guy, right? Like, Batman now is being defined by Pattinson for those same kids. So, how do you tell those kids, oh yeah, by the way, there's another Batman? Like, every time we've had Batmans, we've always had just one Batman. Do you try to convince him after the two that are done? Do you try to convince him to go into the universe? No,
I mean,
because he won't.
Yeah, I don't see that. Even though, like, a lot of, like, non-legit websites are like, the Batman, like, they're going to bring him in. I just don't see that happening. And I think Gunn will do Batman, but I think it will be, there'll be a lot more space in between than we thought there was going to be.
Yeah, so, because it's not even being discussed now.
Yeah.
Like it's not even on the schedule. And, like, if there's 5 years between it, that's maybe a good thing. Because
even if there's 2 years between it, it's a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, let Pattinson and...
When is the Batman 2 start? Like, have they started filming?
No, they have not. The expectation... Like, so...
It'll be 2026. Probably, yeah, like, October. Okay.
October. They said October. October 2026, which makes everybody think that it's going to be a Halloween-based story, to which I was like, I heard that it was a Christmas time story, because it's supposed to take place, like, literally a couple of months after the events of the first Batman, you know? And Pattinson's not that, like, you know, is not at a point in his life where he's going to look 15 years older in 2 years, right?
Right.
Same yeah. with Zoe well, Kravitz. I mean,
they would have been filming by now, but, like, they hit, what, a year and a half snag? So, well, nobody could really do anything.
Exactly. And then, plus, I've heard that he keeps on wanting to write and write and write and get yeah. perfect. To which he had the time, like, the thing was, is that I had read an interview with him where they were talking to him about it, and he's like, well, you know, pandemic was both the worst thing and the best thing for this, because I had to shut down and it forced me to rewrite everything. And he's like, if I had not gotten that time, we probably wouldn't have the movie that we have. I was allowed the time to write. I was pushed and pushed. And he's like, and so I want to take my time to make it right. And to which, like, let's be honest, like, would we rather have a lesser sequel or something that rivals or even manages to top what he did in the first one? Because, I mean, yeah. what he did in the first one, it's a really hard thing to do something like that. Like, yeah. I don't think that people give him enough credit. I mean, just having Batman in the same goddamn room with police officers investigating, that is yeah. something that has never happened in a live action movie. And to yeah. be able to do that and do it realistically, right? Like,
yeah.
that's something that, like, that's
it's crazy.
And it's Sidney Lumet shit, right? Because it's like a contentious relationship.
to that, like, to put it back on Superman, like,
yeah.
we haven't got, like, Gunn is doing that for Superman.
He is. Like,
we've not gotten, at least on the big screen, this, even Chris Reeve's Superman, as hopeful as it can be, has a lot of, and I'm sure there'll be some cynicism in this movie, all provided oh, yeah. by Nathan Fillion as Guy Gardner. But, like, those movies, like, they are of their time. And there is a little bit of, like, you know, that thing to them. And then yeah. all of Superman Returns, you know, it's not Brandon Routh's fault, but he was fine. No. He was great, actually. He is great. He's just a good dude who, like, wanted to play that part, and man, I feel for him that that's the movie he got to do. But yep. It's whatever. We've never had this, like, all-out version of Superman.
No, we haven't. We really haven't. And, like, that hopefulness is kind of like, you know, it's a punk rock idea. Like, you know, as much as it is, like, trying to get Batman in the same room as cops and investigating things, like, that's a punk rock idea. Like, Superman and being the Boy Scout without the cynicism, but the world is cynical and how you deal with that, that is like absolutely James Gunn territory, right? Like, he totally, like, he is a true punk rocker, like, where he takes on subjects that, like, nobody want, like, I mean, who knew that we needed, like, for the final Guardians, a movie about animal testing and just how fucking shitty that is. But we did, and we got it, and it's one of the most, like, equal parts harrowing, sad, but blissful and hopeful and amazing wrap-up that we've
I swear
ever
to seen. God, dude, the minute somebody in this movie, and I know Crypto can fend for himself, but the minute somebody in this movie fucking attacks that dog, I'm gonna lose it, man.
But you know he's gonna do it. You know, like, Iron it's Lex, like, you know, instead of Schrodinger's gun, it's fucking Lex Luthor's gun. Jesus Christ. Like,
yeah, he's walking around with that damn gun. I'm excited for that portrayal of Luthor and what Nick can Holt? Be. Yeah. Like, he looks weird and alien himself, you know? It's going to be, time will tell if it's going to be good, but damn, doesn't it just look so interesting? Like, that really trailer did exactly what it needed to do. Like, I cannot wait to see what they put together and how it all comes together. Like, it's weird. It's the thing, right? Like, where every comic book solo movie, something is happening and somebody in the audience is like, I don't understand why Spider-Man is fighting this thing and he doesn't just call the Avengers, or Thor is fighting this dark god and he's just like, hey, I need some help, guys. Like, can you help me? And this movie is doing that thing.
Right? It's going, let's call in the troops. Like it's not even
who
like
is available. Who is not currently getting their ass kicked? There's a giant fucking monster trashing Metropolis. I need help. Here comes Hawk Girl. Here comes Green Lantern. Here comes Mr. Terrific. Like, I mean, months and months and months ago, I made a bold prediction about what I think the movie was going to be based on the Superman Legacy title. Obviously, completely way off. Happy to be way off. Great. Yep. Love it. I'm here for the, like, they're showing up for moments. They're not showing up to steal the movie or to even maybe they'll be significant, but, like, it's Superman. It's still Superman's story. The trailer is saying that it's still Superman's story. We get one moment with him and his adopted father, and I don't think that you might not be able to tell it from the trailer, but he's holding a robot and looking very somber.
Yes.
That's in the Fortress of Solitude, and I'm going to bet money right now that's Jor-El. That's
that's the composite, the memory bot, basically. Oh, okay, that wouldn't be above Like, that sounds like...
If it's not Jor-El, it's his fucking mom.
Yeah.
So...
And how much do we want to bet? Like, and then I'm going to make one more. I'm going to make a bold prediction. I don't think that Ma Kent is around. I think she died.
I think the one thing you can do differently is, so Donner Superman has the moment in the cornfield where he has a heart attack. And yes. I think that's what you do differently here, is that Martha dies,
not Jonathan. And then that makes Vince Taylor's casting perfect, because, man, if that dude does anything perfect, it's sad sack, lonely old man, or lonely dude. Yeah. And I mean, it did exactly what a teaser should do, which is it shows you something and gives you a taste of something that you've not seen before. Sure. And this is in live action, I should say.
Yeah.
Because this literally feels like Justice League Unlimited. Like, that's how it feels.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, in the best way possible. Because, like, of the Justice Leagues other than Young Justice, like, Justice League Unlimited is my favorite. And it's probably because I've seen it the most.
Yeah.
And it also has, like, my favorite Jon Stewart. It has my favorite Batman.
You get all those crazy characters, like, in and out.
Yes.
Yeah, it's so good. One more thing about the trailer.
Yes.
The music.
John Murphy. Yeah.
It's the perfect. Choice. And using hints. Gunn even finally came out and just said, guys, there was no way in hell we were making this movie and not incorporating what we could of John Williams' music into this, because it's perfect and iconic.
How can you, like, as soon as
we talked about that, like, how are you going to make a Superman movie and not use that? Like, it's the Vader thing. It's once John Williams is like, oh shit, I got the perfect music for this fucker, and creates the Imperial March. How do you ever have Vader on screen again and not be like, no, where's his intro music, man? Like, when you're watching wrestling, Stone Cold doesn't just walk out, man. You got to hear the glass shatter.
Like, yes,
you got to hear the glass shatter. Like, you got to hear, like, it doesn't have to be full on. It just has to be that little bit, you know?
But
and
he did the right...
It's there.
Exactly. He did the right cue. He did the build, not the actual Superman thing, but he did the Kryptonian, like the low Kryptonian build, which is perfect. Like, it's perfect. Like, I don't need to hear Superman's theme. Like, I don't need to hear it on the trailer. I just need to know that John Williams is there, and they gave it to me. Like, and the moment I recognized it was the same moment that, like, Crypto shows up, and I'm like, oh man, it hits it all at once. I'm like, fuck, what the hell? It's fucking, like, it does exactly. I'm gonna steal a line from Man of Steel. Like, it gives you a little bit of hope that come July 11th that we're gonna get something. We're going to get something special. Like, James Gunn knew, like, I mean, you never not bet on James Gunn. Like that's the thing, is that even if you don't like his movies, whatever he intended to do with it, he does it. Like, right. Like you've said, you're not a fan of the first movie because it wasn't what you wanted from Guardians. Right. But you can never not say that whatever James Gunn intended to do, he didn't successfully do. It just wasn't what you wanted. But here's the thing about, like, here's the thing, is that you came around, and by 3, it was exactly what you wanted, and it broke your heart. It made you sore. It's like one of those things where you just kind of like eventually he's gonna get you. Like, I don't know why that is. Like, it's almost like he's like he's one of the fewest filmmakers that I can honestly say is a populist filmmaker. Like, and populist as in he can eventually he will get you. He may not get you the first time. He may not get you the second time, but I can bet dollars to donuts on that third attempt at whatever he's doing. And if you continue with him, he'll get you, he'll hook you. And I mean, I didn't think he was going to be a good choice for Superman, but after seeing this trailer, if it delivers, he was absolutely the best choice.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those, like the actor, I think Ben Affleck, oddly enough, might be a good example here. It's where like, oh, Ben Affleck's going to direct. Like, okay, Ben Affleck's going to direct. Oh, yeah, I'm shocked. Ben Affleck cast himself in the movie that he's directing. And then, not all of them, but then you watch it and you're just like, well, fuck, he's a good director and he's directing himself really well here. Like, James Gunn's taking over the DC Universe. Yeah, okay, I mean, I'm not completely shocked, but good for him. Oh, James Gunn's going to pick himself to write and direct the next Superman movie. Yeah, fucking okay, man. Like, think highly of yourself, don't you? Like, oh, wait, yeah, this actually looks dope.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, you absolutely should have picked yourself to direct the thing, man.
Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, Ben, I thought you were stupid for choosing yourself to be the star of the fucking town, man.
Yeah, but, I know.
Wait,
but,
good call.
Oh, yeah, good call. Like, Captain Obvious, like, you know, let's make a Boston crime movie. Who should we cast? Well, let me cast myself. No, man. Why are you casting yourself as a dirtbag criminal? Oh, well, it's kind of like the obvious choice, I guess. I mean, like, watching it's like, oh, okay. That makes sense. You know, that is the perfect analogy to it. But it's like...
I mean, actor-directors do that all the time. They're like, well, I'll just be in it. It's just like... You just gonna do everything?
Exactly. He's exactly.
Like, I'm taking over the DCU. By the way, I'm writing and directing Superman. Like, okay, you're just going to do all of it? Like, yeah, I am. Watch. This is awesome.
Sure. But now I don't want anything but James Gunn to write things for the DC. Like, after Creature Commandos and after last night's episode, which we didn't talk about it
next week.
Yeah. I mean, but after that, I mean, oh my God. Like, please. Do everything. Like, if you can Aaron Sorkin.
if you can get all of this, if you have time for all of this, yes, please do.
Like, what does Deadpool call it? Colombian snow or like whatever the euphemisms are.
Yeah.
Like, if you need the pure snow, like whatever you need to do to make sure that you can stay awake long enough to write all these things, then that's what you're going to do. I don't give a fuck. Do it. Because if you're giving it to other directors to direct, that's fine. Like, I know you can't direct everything. But as long as you kind of deliver on this, like, I almost wonder, is he going to co-write Superwoman? Or Supergirl?
I mean, supposedly they already have the script is locked. And that's why they're moving ahead with it as probably the next feature film. And probably
and it is woman of,
possibly it is, why she's okay. gonna be in this movie.
Okay.
It is and woman it is of going tomorrow. To be yeah.
Tomorrow. Okay. And then I mean the director Craig Gillespie. I like Craig Gillespie. Like he did one of my favorite rare remakes that I really like, which is Fright Night. And then he also did a Lars and the Real Girl, which is a beautiful, amazing movie, a very weird, esoteric movie. But I like the choice of him. Please do it. Like, you know, do it right away. Like, give me this movie if that's what you're going to do. Like, you know, give me all the James Gunn scripted stuff because it's working so far. Like, the things that I've seen, it's working. And fuck, man, let's do it.
Yeah, I'm so excited for this movie. I cannot freaking wait, man. So, yes. Subaru doesn't look like it has a firm date, but it is 2026.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Yeah.
Got 2 years from now. So maybe even less.
By their schedule, that means it's going to be filming early next year, because Superman had a fairly long production.
Yes.
So,
they've also said that the reason why that was so long was because of the amount of time that they had to take for the action scenes.
Yeah.
Which I find kind of I find it amazing that he said that the reference was, and the reason why it took so long was, after he saw Top Gun Maverick, he had to reconfigure the action scenes and think about it in a new way. He even talked to Tom Cruise about it and how they accomplished things. But I mean, that's the kind of stuff that, as a studio head, you hope that people would do and go like, "Hey, Tommy, I need to talk to you a couple minutes. Can you show me how you did this?" And you know, Tom Cruise is one of those dudes that'll just just let you see it. Take you behind the scenes. You've heard about, we've heard the rumors about, Glenn Powell's let it out of the bag that, when you go onto a Tom Cruise movie, he has a film school that he takes you to, and he filmed specific things on how every piece of production is done. And it's like a five-day intensive course, but by the end of it, you know everything you could possibly want to know about a big budget production. I want to co-star in a Tom Cruise movie just to take that course. Bad guy techie number two, so I can just be a part of the Tom Cruise film school. But anyways, back on point, it's going to be exciting the next 6 months, 7 months as we lead up to this movie.
Oh shit. I just found the release date for Supergirl. June 26th. It's not even a year later.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
So that means they're filming.
Hey, they're starting
now. They're starting now. Yeah. So, yeah. Because they're also doing what Marvel does and building in pickup dates.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, yeah, like reshoot stuff. Because I know that Superman had reshoots. Superman.
And a lot of people were like, "Yep, see, the movie fucking sucks. They're reshooting." And he's like, "Calm down, guys. This was built into the schedule." One of the things I learned on making Marvel movies, you build in reshoot dates because, you don't want to have to. And also, DC itself learned this because fucking, they didn't build in reshoot dates. People go and do other things, make other commitments, look different ways, and then you're like,
mustache.
What the fuck do we do now? reshoot dates.
So much so that you spend hundreds of millions of dollars to remove a mustache because Tom Cruise tells you, go fuck yourselves.
Yep. Maybe Tom Cruise is thinking about pilfering people from this DCU for his movies as well, and that's why James Gunn buddied up to him, was like, "Look, man, I can't have this on any of my movies. We don't have the budget for that."
Or maybe he's just like, do you want to play Hal Jordan? Could you imagine if he
yeah,
showed up?
That would have been wild. But have you seen Kyle Chandler?
Yes, I have. Week?
Holy shit, man. I'm like, all right, put that brown bomber jacket on that man. He is ready to go.
Literally, I was like, do we just put a fedora on him? And
yeah, he's ready. I'm like, yeah, he's ready. He's rocking it, man. So we are both super excited, pun intended, for Superman, which is coming to us in 7 months.
3 months.
Yeah. I mean, this is a 2.5 minute teaser. I imagine we're going to get a longer trailer for Super Bowl Sunday in a couple of months here. And I can't wait, man. But until then, you can see, you can listen to everything else we're doing over at xwingfiles.com, including deep dive discussions into our new favorite Star Wars show, which we didn't get to talk about this week, but I'm sure we'll talk about probably next week. Schedule permitting.
The Daniels. I cannot believe they got the Daniels, but it was the perfect show to have the Daniels direct. It really was great. But anywho, we'll talk about that more.
And you can read our writing over at Adam's website.
Yes, themovieisle.com, where we are officially going to be starting up Logan's column. I've got a bunch of new film reviews and home video releases, which we will be talking about till the end of the year. We're going to make our big push. You can see us all. You can see all the writing that I do there. And then we'll be back next week talking about who the hell knows what. I mean,
probably Sonic. So
yeah, probably Sonic. Yeah, actually Sonic, because you know,
Sonic, you know, we're both and maybe some more Star Wars.
Yes, definitely both Sonic and Star Wars. So yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys soon.
We'll talk to you then.
And the Hobbit, number 4 Mario, number 5 Weird Al, number 6 Batman, number 7 Cal Al, number 8 The Simpsons, number 9 TV, number 10 every single band that I stole all their MP3s, but they're really all sold out. See it all together if you're with me now.